Many thanks for finding and downloading the very first episode of Daft About Craft, which myself and Dave B recorded way back in lockdown in the summer of 2020. Now, the podcast has evolved since then and is quite different to how it was back then, but sit back, relax, and enjoy our very first episode before hopefully going on to download many more.
Daft About Craft, the craft beer podcast.
Welcome to something brand new. This is Daft About Craft, a monthly podcast looking at the wonderful world of craft beer with me, Dave D.
And me, Dave B.
And each and every month we'll be here for around half an hour chatting to you about what we've been drinking, talking to people on the craft scene, giving you news, reviews, features, all that sort of thing. We should kick off this very first edition by telling you a little bit about ourselves. Like I said, I'm Dave D. I'm 43 years old. And I've been into the craft scene for around about 3.5 years now. And getting more and more into it every day, it seems. Spending far too much time scouring the internet for information about new craft breweries and what new drinks are out there. And like many people, I got into the beer scene drinking at college and university. Back then it was just lagers. Then about 20 years ago, I probably moved on to the real ale scene. Although it never really fascinated me. And then one day somebody told me to download Untappd, and all of a sudden this whole new world opened up. The craft world. And I found all these wonderful breweries I'd never heard of before. And we were away. And when I had my first cloud water, shortly afterwards, there was no holding back then. The craft door had been opened to me, and I've gone right through it. And enjoying every minute of exploring a fascinating subject. So that's a little bit about how I got into the craft scene.
Yeah, my story is quite similar to Dave, my fellow Dave. I've probably been into the scene about 3 years as well. I started drinking at university, and while I couldn't drink very interesting stuff at that point, I was still very keen to always try and find something different to drink, be it whatever lager or just a beer that I hadn't seen before. And that sort of lends itself really well, I find, to craft, because there is always something new out there. It used to be weekly, it's now daily, and it's only going to get more and more, it seems. I think my first ever craft beer memory that really stands out is I really liked porters and I really liked stouts. I didn't like hops very much. I tried Brewdog Punk IPA, and at that point it didn't really do a lot for me. I found it very dry and didn't want any more to do with it. But then a friend introduced me to a can of Verdant Pulp, and that was it. It was a complete game changer. I couldn't believe that beer could taste like that with so much fruit in it, and it was just like drinking a Solero, basically. And that was it. I was hooked, and away I went, and here I am now, talking to hopefully quite a few people about my passion and love of all things craft beer.
And we should probably tell people how the podcast came about as well.
Yes, that was a bit strange. We've actually been colleagues for quite a long time. Nature of our work means we don't actually see each other face to face very often. And like so many people, we were thrown together in lockdown and on various Zoom calls, you could sort of get a look into other people's lives. And on Dave's wall one day, I noticed in one of the conference calls, there was the 1001 Beers to Try Before You Die book, a book I'd had and still have myself, was trying to diligently work my way through a few years ago until I sort of gave up on it. And I just sort of thought, oh, here's perhaps someone who likes a bit about craft beer. So I reached out, got in touch, and the rest, hopefully, is history.
So it's time to move straight on into the first feature here on Daft About Craft. And this is the top five, where each and every month we'll be looking at our favourite beers from the past month. So today we'll be talking about the beers we've drunk during the month of June.
The Bad Craft.
And I'm going to kick it off at my number five with a beer called Lemon Swirl from the Nano Brewery New Invention in Warsaw here in the West Midlands. It was a beer released as part of their first birthday pack, so not necessarily on general sale as such, because I think there was only about 40 of those birthday packs released. But it was a 4.7% fruit beer with masses of lemon on the nose, really well balanced, and a little bit of lactose in there as well, which works really well. Lactose can be divisive, I know, but it worked really well in this. Lemon Swirl from New Invention. And if it is released generally, do try and get your hands on some, because it was really tremendous and a great drink for the summer sun. Number four, a sour from Staggeringly Good Brewery in Portsmouth, from their Sourpod range, the Blueberry Raspberry Lime and Coriander Salted Goes, which really was staggeringly good, actually. Tremendous beer. Rich red colour, full of fruit on the nose, and a great salty kick at the end. Really enjoyed that one. At number three, from Vault City in Edinburgh, their Imperial Stout Double Mash Coconut Cream. Now, Vault City have been knocking out some tremendous sours over the last few weeks and months, so it was good to see them back with a stout for a change, and this one was really quite something. As thick as a milkshake, requiring a hell of a lot of shaking up to actually even get it into your glass. And I probably shook it too much, to be honest, because it made a bit of a mess when it did come out. But it didn't affect the taste, which was huge quantities of coconut on the nose and on taste. But it was a real delight. And even if you're not massively keen on that sort of style of drink, you should definitely try it if you can. Number two for June, Omnipollo's Tefnut range, the Blueberries and Vanilla Ever Experimenting Omnipollo. And in this particular Tefnut, there's hundreds of grams of blueberries per litre, and vanilla in there as well to smooth it all out. Thick, rich, sticky, and glorious. Can't recommend it anymore. And number one for June, the Mighty Cloudwater and their Speyside Persistence Is Utile, 10% barrel aged in Speyside whiskey barrels and then conditioned on vanilla and Peruvian coffee beans. A magnificent smooth pour, a nice boozy kick to it as well. In no way bitter or roasty. It really was the business. And it's £10 a bottle, which some people might think is expensive, but worth every penny. And that's my top five for the month of June.
Well, we've heard your top five, so I suppose it's probably only right that I give you mine.
Indeed. Away you go.
The Bad Craft.
Okay, so my top five for the month of June starts with a Heller's, which is from a brewery I hadn't had before, called Frau Gruber. I must admit, when I did see the name, I assumed it was somewhere in Britain, and they were just sort of taking a rather generic, perhaps equivalent of John Smith's, and having a bit of fun with it. I was actually wrong. It turns out they're in Augsburg, which is near Munich, so more fool me. But anyway, it's nice to see a German brewer that isn't traditional in some ways. I love the traditional stuff, but it's good to see that it's sort of getting a bit of an emerging craft scene. And this was a really nice Heller's. It's light, as you'd expect, but then there was just that little bit of lemon at the end. It wasn't a rattler. It was quite subtle, but it made it just that stand out that little bit from the crowd. And it was really sessionable. I can't recommend them enough. I've got another one from them in the fridge, which I'm looking forward to trying to see what else they do as a brewer. Number four was Movies in the Jacuzzi by Polly's. I'm a big, big Polly's fan. I love pretty much everything they do. This got onto the list because I was lucky enough to get a hold of it on Growler, so I got it from Keg at one of my locals, which have been doing takeout. That's the Arcade Tavern, if you're in the Ipswich or Suffolk area. It was a great milkshake IPA. There was loads of guava in there, and I do mean loads, but it didn't become too much. Lactose was there. It was sweet, but it wasn't sickly. I just loved the balance of it overall. I thought it was supremely well balanced, and it did not last long in the growler. Number three comes from Dave's neck of the woods, actually, in Birmingham. It's Dig Brew, Thoughts and Prayers, a Baltic Porter. I love porters, but I do find they can be a bit thin. This was definitely not thin, but it wasn't overpowering. What made it that bit better, though, was the addition of some sour cherries. It was a little bit sweet, it was a little bit sour, but it was most definitely very enjoyable. Number two, another new brewery for me, although not for a lot of people. This was Vault City Citrus Sour. Dave is a huge advocate of sours and actually sent this to me as part of a care package to try and convince me. And I would say it's probably the first sour I have enjoyed. Actually, I know it's the first sour I've enjoyed, and I would definitely have it again. It's not that sour for me. I'm coming in at the base level. It was more beery, which I really enjoyed. And my sort of main takeaway was it was like a slightly off apple juice, but just as thick, just as cloudy. I'm really interested now to see what else they've got. I do have another one in the fridge. I will be opening that soon, but I can now see myself perhaps getting converted to the world of sours.
This is what we wanted.
And then finally, for number one, I've probably reverted a little bit to type. It is Hyperion V2 from Alpha Delta in Newcastle. It's a DDH IPA. A lot of people do that now. It is a little bit of a stock beer, so I do get a bit blasé about them. However, this really stood out. And it stood out firstly because of the colour in the glass. It was a light lemony colour, which I don't often see with a DDH. And it also smelt lightly of lemons. It very much reminded me of sort of a lemon ice cream you get from the supermarket. And that sort of intrigued me, but it's not tart in the slightest. There was lots of fruit in there. Not lemon, funnily enough. It was Vic Secret and Citra with the hops involved, and they just came together, and it really, really worked. I could easily have had quite a few of those. I've got another tin of something from Alpha Delta in the fridge, and I'm really excited to try that as well. So Hyperion version 2 is my top beer for June. So another one of our regular features we will deliver to you each month is Brew to Me. There's always someone new to find. They might have slipped under our radar. They might be brand new on the scene. But needless to say, we will both be sniffing out at least one new brewery a month and trying some of their wares and doing a bit of a live taste and finding out what we make of it. So my first one is Yaniac Maniac Pilsner, which has come all the way from New York. It's by the Kings County Brewers Collective. A little bit of research on the internet informs me that this is a three-man operation. They're based in Brooklyn, and they're actually based in Bushwick, which apparently had quite a heavy German population, which sort of explains why they've done a beer very Germanic in its roots, like a Pilsner. The can art I've got here is sort of Total Recall, Arnold Schwarzenegger on the front. It's very cartoon hero-y, very colourful. It stands out, which definitely helps. I am a bit of a magpie with cans. Understated sometimes appeals to me, but more often than not, I will go for bright colours like a child. So it pours like a normal Heller's. We've got a fair amount of life in there, quite amber. Not much more to say than that, really, on a beer like a Pilsner. The all-important thing with a Pilsner is the taste. It's nice and clean. It's nice and light. It's fair. I could drink this very quickly. I probably will drink this very quickly and easily because it is weighing in at 5.2%, so it's not going to blow your socks off. It's just a nice example of the style, I guess.
And if you were getting involved in Untappd, what would you give it out of five?
Well, I am a notoriously harsh marker.
Very much.
I've got only, I think, three beers have managed to get the five-star treatment from myself. This, I couldn't give it a bad mark. Probably give it 3.25.
Middle of the road for you, then.
It just does the job. It's functional. It's enjoyable. But if you wanted a Pilsner, you don't necessarily have to get it to come all the way to you from Bushwick, New York. if you live in Suffolk, I could have found equivalent closer to home, which would have done just as good a job.
Right, it's my turn to crack open a can now. And what I've got here is all the way, not from New York, but just from Cornwall. And this is from the Firebrand Brewing Company, who, again, I only heard of not too long ago, which makes me wonder why I haven't heard of them sooner when I find out that they actually began in 2008. So they've been going for 12 years. They're getting more and more coverage now, though, on social media. I think they've upped their game a little bit on Facebook. I see a lot of adverts for their stuff on there. And they've had some good offers on their beers. The free postage if you spend over £28. That's always a good way to entice people in. That's what got me, actually. A good offer will pull people in. Now, the one I have in front of me is, as you've heard, I'm a fairly big sour fan. This is a limited batch brew of a raspberry sour, and I can see a little bit coming out of the top of the can. It looks sort of pinky ready, as you would expect. Oh, sound effects as well, look. And how does it look? Pours a little bit on the thin side, but looks good. Smells of raspberries, which is always a good start for a raspberry sour. Well, it tastes of raspberry, not massively, I have to say, but that is very drinkable, and it is only 3.5%, so I guess it would be fairly drinkable and not too heavy. But yeah, I could go for a few of those. I think I bought 6 of them, so that's good news. Not massively sour, but more fruity than sour, I would say, but that's fine by me. Sours, they cover a whole range for me, from the ones that make your eyes almost water, you know, you're squinting your face up, they're so sour. And then this as well, there's a whole range of them. And yeah, this fits in on the unsour end of sours, if you see what I mean. If I was going on tap now, which I probably will in a bit, I'd give that 3.75 out of 5.
Well, for me, that's quite generous. So
yeah, 3.75.
I'm just very critical by nature. 3.75 says to me that is really good for the style, and it had a little bit of something different. How's the body with something so low in ABV?
There's not a huge amount of sort of depth to the body, but I think for what it sets out to do, it does it well. It reminds me of another one, actually, from a brewery in Northern Ireland I had recently called Raspberry Crush from Brew Hut. Quite similar to that, if anybody out there has tried it. Maybe it's one for you, because it's not overly sour, like we said. And as you're setting out on the sour road, that could be one that you could go for. Maybe I'll send you one in your next care package.
Yeah, I mean, I just need it to taste of what it says it's going to be, rather than screwing my face inside out to start with. So
no, that does what it says. It certainly does what it sets out to do. And I think sometimes when you taste these beers, it might not be to your taste or whatever, but if it achieves what it is trying to achieve, then it's done its job. You might not like it, but
yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, you see a lot of people on Untappd, oh, this wasn't what I expected, therefore it gets a terrible mark, which isn't...
It's a bit like the people on Amazon who give a product 1 out of 5 because the postman delivered it late. Well, that's probably enough talk on brew to me for the very first month of our Daft About Craft podcast. Now we've got for you something completely different as we welcome in Cameron from Turning Point Brew Co. in Knaresborough to tell us what he's been up to recently. Daft About
Craft. We had some new fermenters installed last week, which hopefully we'll be in a position to fill in the next couple of days. We're really looking forward to getting back up to speed, supplying the pubs and bars, back to doing some more export, some more barrel aging, and of course opening our tap room, which seems to have been a little bit cursed in getting opened from the start. So we opened as a preview at Christmas, and then we intended to open fully in March of this year, which for obvious reasons didn't quite happen. Just hoping that we can open our tap room safely. We've also released 4 brand new beers this week, one of which we've brewed before, and that one is Cosmic Flux, which is a 7.2% Citra and Mosaic New England style IPA. It was one of the first beers we ever brewed. It was an absolute nightmare. We ended up having to effectively tilt the fermenter with a car jack to get the beer out because it was so blocked with hops. Needless to say, the beer was great, so we persevered with it. We brewed it again last year in cans for the first time, and then this year again we've used Citra and Mosaic BBC varieties of hops, which are just that much more fresh. What am I drinking? cup of tea at the minute. At the weekend, probably try each of the four new beers. So I'll have a couple of Cosmic Flux cans. Divinations is a 6.8% Galaxy-based IPA. Really tasty, really fruity. All the passion fruit, dead nice. And two sours. We've got an apricot and white grape sour called Grapevine Fires, coming in at 4.9%, which is like really winey. There's that real sort of Sauvignon Blanc dry sort of funky thing going on. Absolutely love it, really nice. And the last of the four beers is called Permission to Land, and that is a raspberry, blackcurrant and lime sour. Yeah, really fruity, bright pink, nice and thick, perfect tart and sour. One beer from another brewery that has taken your fancy. I'm going to go with Mother North from Liquid Light Brew Co. 6.8% Eldorado IPA. Goodness me. Had a fair few crowlers of it, and if they make it again, we will get a fair few more. What a beer. Delicious beer, lovely people. Happy to support them. We'll keep doing so as long as funds allow and the space in the fridge allows.
Well, a very big thank you to Cameron there from Turning Point Brewco in Knaresborough for popping along and telling us what you've been up to recently. Really appreciate that. And we'll be doing more of those features in the months ahead before we kick on with a series of more in-depth interviews. So it's time to move on to our next feature now, as we have a look at Supermarket Sweep.
Next time you're at the checkout and you hear the beep. Next time you're at the checkout and you hear the beep.
So, how many of you have heard the beep recently in the supermarkets when you've been buying your craft beers? I've been in Marks and Spencer's a few times recently for their great offer, which they've now withdrawn. What was it, 3 cans for £5, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And it was really a bit of a field day. If you were had your wits about you, you could fill up the trolley and make off with quite a bargain.
I did a couple of times, yeah. But yeah, 3 for a £5 there. Now £3.50 each, those cans. So it was a good deal. Really good. I see Electric Bear from Bath was in there as well. Only one can of theirs, but interesting that they've made it into Marks and Spencer's. So we have got a can from a supermarket. Which was a supermarket?
This came from Tesco's, and it is from Wildcard, who've been in Tesco's for a while. I believe my first experience of Wildcard was from Tesco's. It is Ella IPA, which is easy for me to remember, as my fiancé's sister, her daughter, is called Ella, so I really hope this actually is decent. I'm slightly concerned, as it has Sabro, which is the most divisive hop, it seems, out there at the moment. Where do you come down on it?
You can certainly smell it, that's for sure.
Yep. Not the most encouraging start for me, I'll be brutally honest, just because I worry that everything gets taken over. I just find with Sabro, if it's in there, it can dominate my palate.
5.7%.
I'm pleasantly surprised, actually. That is to manage Sabro. Yeah, I like that. What else have we got involved? Citra, yeah, that comes through. Ella hop. Ella, I don't know a lot about. I think it's a bit of a floral hop off the top of my head, but that's about all I know.
And so how much was this in Tesco's?
I think this is one of the £3 cans. There's been a little bit of outrage, or a lot of memes, certainly, with the ICAT.
Faux outrage, yeah.
Yeah, the ICAT going up to £3.50, and I believe the new Buxton's that came in are £3.50, but that's actually due to the ABV more than anything, that they can't sell them for £3. That's factored into the price. But this at 5.7, I think, is absolutely fine to be in at £3. My view sort of overall with supermarket beers is I view them as sort of gateways.
When I first got interested in the craft scene, I would often sort of nip into Tesco's and get some of the vacation beers, the Life and Death and Heart and Soul. They really help bring me into the scene because the beer is readily available. It's there on the supermarket shelf in front of you. And then from there, you go on and explore other things. So it's all part of the experience, I think, buying craft beer in supermarkets.
This would serve that purpose, actually. I do applaud Wildcard for getting hold of Sabro and actually containing it. It doesn't dominate, and that's really good for me. The more I drink this, I think the more the Ella comes through for me. It's very floral, and I like that.
I would certainly drink that again, without a doubt.
Yeah, I concur. I'd happily have this again. This, I would say, could easily stand on the shelves on its own for £4 or £5 a can, and I'd be happy with that.
Yeah. Duff the Bad Craft. Well, hopefully you've been enjoying what you're listening to on Daft About Craft. This is a very good time to wrap up a few talking points. And the first of those, we're going to talk for a few minutes about Neon Raptor. We haven't heard much from them during lockdown. In fact, very, very quiet. Now, I'm a massive fan of Neon Raptor. Went to their tap room a few months ago before the world changed.
Yeah, they have advertised during lockdown that they're after a head brewer, so one can only assume that has sort of inevitably hit production. As you say, it'd be great to have them back on the scene. I love their IPAs. They'd really nailed that sort of New England corner of the market. They were sort of up there as a benchmark and hopefully will stay there. But people have short memories, so it'd just be really good to see them back in. They have been active during lockdown. They've been on various Zoom calls and whatnot with Meet the Brewers and everything, so it's not like they're not out there. And they've talked a few times about the big plans they've got for when they come back. So we can only hope that when they do so, it is bigger and better, because they are sorely missed from the scene.
I'm certainly looking forward to getting back into their tap room in Nottingham. So it's a great vibe in there. Now, it's interesting to read on the internet on one of Cloudwater's recent blogs that they're thinking they may not open their tap room in Manchester this year.
There's a lot of issues incorporated in there, but just focusing on the shutting of the tap room, it's interesting to see, because obviously the weekend just gone marks the first weekend when tap rooms, bottle shops with licenses and pubs obviously reopen. Cloudwater, by the looks of it, setting their line in the sand that they don't feel it's the right thing to do and would rather wait and see. It's very much a subjective issue. I don't really want to come down on either side of that, because I don't feel sort of quite qualified to do so, but it's certainly an interesting take. Cloudwater Tap Room's a great place to go. It would be a shame to not have it on the scene, but equally you can only respect what Paul thinks and taking their approach.
Certainly one of my favourite places. I love the tap room in Manchester, the old one and the new one, and never tire of going there, and I really hope they can manage to reopen soon, but fully respect the opinion not to to go straight in and open on July the 4th. Can completely agree with their stance. Just hopefully they will make it back at some point and we can start enjoying their beers again in their tap room.
As we just touched upon there, when this comes out, we will have had the first weekend of pubs and all that goes with it being reopened. I did not go out. I did not want to go out for that weekend. Dave, what were your views on it?
Same for me. During the last 3 months since the beginning of March, what is it, 3 months, 4 months, whatever it is, I've completely changed the way that I drink beer. You know, I've had 3 or 4 deliveries a week from different breweries across the UK, and I'm in no rush to go out to pubs and bars. I will do in time, but the 4th of July for me seemed a little bit too early. And I'm just happy to sit here and wait to see how it goes, see what happens in the future, and if I feel happy to go out to bars again, so be it, I'll be there.
It's a nasty catch-22 in a lot of ways, because I really want to go and support, I don't want to go and support, say, the local spoons, but I do want to go and support those places which have been shut and are independents. You know, I've got a couple in the local area within Ipswich, we're not blessed with masses of places, but those that there are, I would really like to give their support, and I was really pleased to see that they both seem very busy for opening night. But on the other hand, I'm glad they're busy without me being there. I don't necessarily want to be there yet. I'd like to see it bed in and we can get a sense of what the new procedures and everything are like, because everywhere is going to be adjusting on the fly. It'd just be nice to get into that situation. I accept that the pub's not going to be the pub for a little while, but I want to get back there and start drinking again in a social environment. But at the same time, I've got really comfortable and happy with doing lots of orders and enjoying a lot of great beer at home.
So now time for something a little bit different. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it hype or is it tripe? That's what we're asking. And we'll be doing this on each of our podcasts. And we'll be cracking open a can that's been everywhere. You'll have heard all about it, but we're going to say what we think of it and see if it lives up to the expectations.
So first off the bat that we're going for is the Northern Monk Other Half Equilibrium Collaboration. It's part of the Tank Petrol series, which, if you're familiar with Northern Monk and their collab series, this is Tank Petrol is a very, very good artist. This is the sixth, I believe, in the series, and it is a 9.4% tipper. Double dry hot, I should add. We've got Citra, Mosaic, Cryo, Strata, Cashmere and El Dorado in the mix, and it has certainly been doing the rounds. I know we're halfway through the year now and I have seen Tipper of the Year bandied about a bit, so expectations are certainly high. All the players you would say are in position for this Patrons project, so let's see what it's like.
Saying a good point there, it's been everywhere. I've got a review in front of me that I read just the other day, and I'll read this out. It says, "I just wanted to jump on the bandwagon and say this is something else. It's nowhere to be found. A tipper that is sessionable. What a concept. This is my new baseline for IPAs. I could say it's one of the beers of the year, but that would be a euphemism, as it's one of the best beers I've had in my life." High praise indeed.
I mean, that's, yeah, very high praise. If it's a baseline for your all your IPAs, that is a high bar. And I am, full disclosure, I'm a fully paid up Patrons Project big, big fan. Huge Northern Monk fan as well.
Me too. Let's crack open the can. Oh, that distinctive aroma.
It's slightly wet sock.
Does this not look a bit lighter in colour than you might expect?
That's true, actually. I think of the tipper to be a bit more heading towards an orangey colour. This is very much that sort of bright, hazy, as you'd expect, but it's very bright, mid-range yellow.
It's definitely not as bright a colour as I imagined it would be. The tippers I've had before tend to be more orangey, edging on brown. This is a nice yellow colour. First impressions?
Very well balanced, very smooth. There's no alcohol burn there at all. I'm trying to pick the individual hops out as best I can. The Citra's definitely there and the Mosaic's definitely there for me. I know Strata is sort of belle of the ball at the moment in terms of hops. Don't know that I'm getting much of that just yet. I'm not blown away.
I tell you what, though, when you have a tipper, usually you think, I best just sip at this because this is going to do some damage if I get too heavily involved too quickly. It doesn't taste as though it is that nearly 10% to me.
I know what you mean. It's encouraging me back to go in straight away again. Don't sort of take it, savour it, and then let it sit there for another sort of 90 seconds, 2 minutes, and then have another little bit and really space it out. It is making me want to go back very quickly, which is dangerous, but also credit to how they've done it. I don't know if I'm getting a lot of fruity sweetness. I'm getting the dry hops starting to kick in a bit now.
The only thing that worries me about a tipper is when you're drinking 440 mils of it. Usually if I was in a bar, I'd have a third of something like this, and we've got this great big can here.
I wonder if that's partly... There's obviously the market for it, or they wouldn't do it, but is that sort of reflective of each individual's drinking habits? Because I like to start with something in the sort of anywhere between the 4-6% range to start with, and then I might gradually move up a bit through the night if I feel like it. And this would definitely always be the end of the night beer. But whether I do, as you say, whether I want 440 mils of that having had two or three is open for debate. But then someone else might be sitting there thinking, well, I'd only have this as my only beer of the night, or I might have one 5% beer while I'm cooking or something, and I'm just going to sit and I'm going to enjoy this for 2 hours. And I've certainly seen that with Imperial Stouts. And when this is very drinkable, and dangerously drinkable, actually.
I was just going to say dangerously drinkable. Those were the two words.
I'm coming down more on the hype side at the moment. It's not bad.
There's
no way I can say it's bad in the slightest.
It's certainly not tripe, but that is for sure. So we should probably think about if we were rating this, what would you give this out of 5?
It's tough. It's got to be in the... It's got to start with a 4.
Yeah, correct. I think so.
But I don't know if I can even... I don't know if I want to push it much above that. Maybe 4.25. 4.25 possibly for the fact of what they've achieved in terms of something that's so strong. I mean, I've got half of the can in there and I've had a bit already and I don't feel the effects, which says to me it might hit me in a bit.
go outside and let the night air hit you, then you'll...
Oh, the fresh air sniper would knock me out, no doubt. But I applaud the fact of what they've done here in terms of this. This is strong, but it doesn't taste strong. I don't necessarily pick out masses of different flavours with it. And I wonder whether that's always just a bit of a struggle when once you get into tipper territory.
Do you need to pick out all those flavours, though? Can you just take it for what it is, which is a very smooth, boozy, end-of-the-night drink?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it, actually, and perhaps is a way I need to sort of approach beers a bit more sometimes. This is a very good beer. I think going back to the scoring... It's 4 or 4.25, probably depending on how I go through this and how I feel by the end of it. And if the 9.4 starts to kick in, it'll be 4.25.
I think I'll go 4.5. I'm always a bit above, always a bit on the generous side, but it is very good. And comparing it to other tippers I've had over the years, it's that is up there. It really is.
I think there's a lot to be said for just that coloration, like getting it so it's not that sort of... sweet, sticky orange, and then it almost comes through as sweet, sticky orange as a taste, and it's just marmalade-y. That's what I get a lot.
That's what puts me off a bit sometimes from this style, but this is not like that. This is different to that.
Yeah, definitely. This could easily be 8%, and it could be 8% from a different brewer, and I'd probably be fooling all over myself to be saying, oh, this is an amazing dipper. So perhaps it's just maybe straddling two categories for me.
Yeah. But there's no doubt about it when you think about it. This feature is called Hype or Tripe. There is no tripe here. This is well worth its place at near the top of the tipper tree.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I heartily endorse this as fully worthy of the hype. Okay then, so that brings us to the end of the first ever episode of Daft About Craft. Hopefully you've enjoyed listening to it. We've definitely enjoyed producing it and making it. And we will be back again next month to do it all over again. But in the meantime, if you'd like to get in touch with us, there's lots of ways you can do so. You could get hold of us on Instagram at daftaboutcraft1. That's all lowercase. You could get hold of us on Twitter at daftaboutcraft1. But that's with a capital D. We're both on Untappd. I'm BeanieB001 and Dave D is Magic Wiz, all lowercase, and that's Magic Wiz WIZ at the end. And if you'd like to go on the rather more traditional, as it is these days, method of emailing us, there's daftaboutcraft1@gmail.com. So there's really no excuse to get in touch with us. We'd love to hear what you've been up to in the last month. How was your first weekend going back into bottle shops or pubs? Let us know about your experiences. Was it good? Was it bad? Was it indifferent? Do you want to do it again? What beers have you had in the month? And most importantly, what did you make of the podcast? We're very open to feedback, and we'd also love to hear if you liked it, if you didn't, and anywhere in between. But for now, we will see you again this time next month. So from me, goodbye.
And from me, please get in touch. Let us know what you thought. And hopefully you'll tune in again next month and enjoy a bit more Daft About Craft.